Let us read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Some of you who never preached at a conference will understand what Brother Oliver Smith said one time. He said it's very difficult to discern whether you're exercised or excited when you come to a conference. Well, it's quite a churning up. I'm sure our brethren that take part in a conference understand that it hits you here. Of course, if our ministry doesn't hit us here, it's no good. Let us read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to think of a little word in relation to the assembly. There's been some reference made already. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Who then is Paul, or who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Now that's all I'll read for time's sake. You know, preachers have to cut their sermons down sometimes. You can't have all the points. So we just have less than 20 minutes, or around 20 minutes, and so we'll give you what God has put on our hearts. I want to think of God's assembly as a till field. That's what we have here. A cultivated field in the margin. Ye are God's husbandry, or ye are God's tilled field. Now very simply, I want to think, first of all, of the purpose of the field. It's God's till field. Of course, there's nothing else in view in the New Testament, you know, but an assembly. Christians gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul went to Corinth, it was just one barren wilderness of heathen idolatry and Jewish temples who were there. When Paul left, it was a till field. It was God's till field. So I want to think of the purpose of the field. It is God's field. And then I want to think of the plowing of the field. That's a necessary thing in relation to a field. It has to be plowed. And then I want to think of the planting of the field. And a little word on the protection of the field. And then the produce of the field. Now, if I don't touch all these, I'll promise to be down at 5 o'clock. Anyway, we might get carried away with one of them, and we wouldn't be able to excel on the last one. It's lovely when a Christian gets under their feet the fact that God is a field. And the purpose of that field is, it is for God. I was telling them over at Woodland this morning that there's no other place on earth you could do what we were doing this morning, only gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. When I was over in Newfoundland a little while ago, the outgoing prime minister or premier there, they had a supper for him, $1,000 a plate to raise money for him. Well, it was quite a thing for to get a seat at that. You can understand, I wasn't there, but they came from all over Canada. And they paid the Prime Minister and his wife were there, $1,000 a plate. Reverend, I want to ask you, did you ever think of taking a seat at the Lord's table? And could you value it for $1,000 a sitting? He thinks not. I want to tell you that all the money on earth couldn't buy you a seat at the Lord's table in fellowship with God, scripturally gathered. And so, we're not poor, and we're not, as dear Brother Norman has said, we are weak. But listen, brethren, we have nothing to be discouraged about when a number of believers in this city sat down scripturally this morning. I wouldn't like to begin like David to number the people, but let us say, in the assemblies around Vancouver, there were several hundred sat down around the Lord's table in fellowship with God, carrying out the Word of God and glorifying to God. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
this dark day? I tell you it is.
Sure, God help us not to get discouraged.
I want to think of the plowing of the field. Brethren, this is a necessary thing. When we go into the 18th chapter of Acts, we find there how the work started in Corinth. I want to tell you, after 55 years on the road and observing the work of God, there's always the plowing. And how did it start in Corinth? I wonder if there's a young couple here today and you're wondering what God would have you to do. Well, in Corinth, there was two displaced people, Priscilla and Aquila, picked up the newspapers. They didn't have them in those days. And it'd be better if we didn't, because we spent a lot of time on them. But they got an edict from the emperor that they had to depart from Rome. You see the tears rolling down their cheeks? You see them getting down on their knees? All the Jews had to depart from Rome. What are they going to do? So they packed their belongings. And there's only one thing to do, and that's go to some other center. Was God behind it? I tell you, as they sailed down the Mediterranean there, where are they going? They didn't understand, but step by step, the Lord will lead. And there they come to the great city of Corinth. And I can see them setting up their little business, unpacking their boxes. Maybe some back street somewhere, starting up their little business, wondering what God has for them. And along comes a little man, or they tell us he was. Thank God he was able to sow sails. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for a preacher that couldn't turn his hand to the plow, to the shovel, to the pick, to the lawnmower, or to the needle to sow sails. That's the way Paul was. And I tell you, that's the way we have them up there in Labrador, and places like that. You know, some of you think when you see the preacher dressed up with a tie and shirt on, that's the way he always goes. I tell you, the plowing of the field, there's a lot of background work to it. And there I see them sitting in there. And God is in it all. And the plowing of the field was so necessary. And by and by, there's a little assembly of Corinth. We can't dwell on that because of time. I just came from Pogo, Newfoundland. My heart was touched. That 75 of us sat down there and broke bread. Now this is not a missionary meeting, I know. And I'm not a missionary. But I have a mission. And when we sat down there and broke bread, I thought of the days when the gospel first came in. I thought of the plowing. And I was with dear Brian Funson when we did a bit of the plowing. When we got into that little old trailer, no facilities in it, how to haul the water for 2 miles, mile and a half anyway. And the storm blowing, I thought of the days, got into bed, got the clothes up around us, myself especially, got my typewriter on my knees, and the wind blowing and the old trailer rocking. And I thought of young Brian out there. I appreciate Brian, because I saw him come up through the ranks. Brethren, you don't become a stalwart or get a grip of things for God until you get them into your soul. And there, in those days, there was a little Sunday school over 8 miles from where we gathered. There was no assembly, where the little work was going on. I'll never forget the morning I left. We had burnt out the motor on the old truck, the van that he had. But Brian was going to have a Sunday school over 8 miles there. And he walked it, 8 miles there and 8 miles back. Mother Pitt tells us about walking. He blistered his heels. But when I went down to Payne's Harbor the other day, and I thought of the work that was done to that little Sunday school. And there when we sat down to break bread, there were some of those Christians, and I thought of the plowing of the field. Oh, when you come along and you see it, it's nice to go back into the background and see how it all started. And I want to tell you, that little company has carried on for God. Brian left, as every evangelist should do. Leave them to themselves, visit them, and take care for them. But they've carried on. And now they're erecting a hall there. Let me see now. Could I just tell you that if you're wondering what to do with that little portion of the Lord's money, don't be afraid. Mr. Harris used to say he can be an inveterate beggar for the other fellow. They got a lovely hall, going to open it in November with a series of meetings. For 20 years, the opposition kept us from getting water facilities and having anything better than just a temporary building. But now they're going to have one of the best that you could get in Newfoundland. And by the way, there's 21 assemblies in Newfoundland. And as far as I know, every one of them have a good hall free of debt. As far as I know, that's the work that's going on. Plowing the field. And so the plowing of a field is necessary. Brethren, when you come along a few years later, you're brought into an assembly. Do you ever go back and think of the men that plowed the field? You think of it here in Vancouver. There's some of you younger generation coming up. I trust you're not going to despise the work of men that have long gone to heaven, that taught the right ways of the Lord. I am now 55 years on the way to heaven. And when I was 21, I was taught the principles of a New Testament assembly. And I was brought into the first assembly I ever saw in operation. I was in it before I knew what it was, because it was a new work. And friend, that's 55 years ago, and I've never seen anything on earth yet for what I learned in those first few months in that little assembly. I got the crowning of the truth of God. I often feel sorry for young Christians sometimes. I say sometimes, like Billy Bray said, you know, I was born in the fire and I can't live in the smoke. And that's the way, when you get taught the truth of God and you see it from the scripture, you just love to develop it in the lives of others. And so there's the plowing of the field. Then there's the planting of the field. This is important. I tell you, when they were planting the assembly on Prince Edward Island, the first one that was ever planted there, when they were planting an assembly in Newfoundland, when they were planting assemblies here in Vancouver, it was very important. It was very important what you put in, what you brought into the assembly. Now, we don't have to know everything when we come in, but in every first a willing mind. And I tell you, young converts, I tell you, the ones you have to watch. And watch with a great care are people that are saved, that come in from outside. They're not the converts, the stones of that place. And sometimes people come into the assembly. You get them out of the denomination, but you don't get the denominations out of them. And that's what you have to be careful of. Now, thank God. There's always the exception. Over there in St. John's, Newfoundland, a young Mountie, he was a policeman, married an unsaved girl, got away from God. He was a Baptist preacher's son. His mother was a better preacher than his father. After their first child was born, that dear young man got restored to God, and his wife got saved. They came into the city of St. John's, and through different circumstances, he was found sitting back in the assembly. Well, to make a long story short, that young man come into the assembly. And he's a real help to them there. And more than that, he brought his preaching mother. And she sat back. And when Albert Hull was over there a few years ago having meetings, she got saved. And she praises God today that she found the gathering center. But that dear man, he loves the assembly, so that's the exception. But we have known men that have come from outside. And I tell you, the planting of the assembly is very important. Don't think of numbers so much as getting the genuine articles and those who will be a help to maintain a testimony to the name of the Lord Jesus. And so, planting the assembly. When he planted the assembly on Prince Edward Island, thank God there were men with integrity that had a lot to do with the planting or the maintenance of the assembly. And there's some of you sitting here today. I trust you're holding the same principles that those men taught you, because those were the men that came down and taught us and brought the gospel to us way back there in 1934. And they planted an assembly. Thank God I was in it. Now, as I say, I have to hurry on. The protection of the assembly. The protection of the assembly. We've been hearing that we turn sometimes to other methods than spirituality to try to hold, as people say, to hold the young people. To hold the young people. To hold what we have. Now, I told you when I was here before, and I want to tell you again. Whether you like Mr. Ramsey or you don't. You can't build an assembly on movies, muffins, and music. I'm here today as a living witness. After 13 years seeing this indulged in the city of Vancouver, I ask for one and another, and where are they? They're not to be found. It didn't hold them, brethren. You can entertain the flesh, but you can't spiritualize the flesh. And what we need today is for young men and young women to get a good grip of the things of God and go on for God in a spiritual way. And I tell you, there's no substitute for it. And give me 5 of that kind of people, and you can have your 500 in numbers. But when your 500 have gone, I'll have a little light for God of that 5. If they get a grip, if they're planted in the house of God, the protection of the field. You dear brethren who go before the flock, protect the field. There's an inside and an outside to God's assembly. There's no such a thing taught in the New Testament as every Christian should be received to the Lord's table. When I was in the Orange Lodge. I couldn't get in without a password. And yet people come along and they say you should be able to come and break bread at the Lord's, in the assembly, whether you belong to it or not. That's not what the New Testament teaches. The New Testament teaches that there's a back seat for learners. Save people, but they have to find out what this assembly is all about. So there's a protection of the field. Well, I'm going to tell that story, sure. You see, I wonder if you tell the story about the garden. I sure am. You all heard it long ago. About the time we had the garden in a new place. And that garden, I worked hard. I sweat. I don't sweat as much as Brother Allen, but I did sweat digging that garden. And anyone that plants an assembly is going to sweat for God too. Blood, sweat, and tears. And I sweat. And by and by, I got the garden all dug up and the grass all thrown out. I had a little tilled field. Thank God. Lovely. And then I planted it. And then I went down to the government garage and I said, could I get some of that snow fence? And they said, what do you want it for? I said, I want to fence my garden. Sure, take all you want. So I took it home, and I fenced it. And I put a gate on it. You know why I fenced it? Because when I was digging it, I could hear the old rooster over there at McEwen's crowing. He had a big bunch of hens. And then, Blakeney's cats, you see that coming out of the building? I wanted to keep out Blakeney's cats, and I wanted to keep out McEwen's hens. But, listen. Peter and Esther, they were just, one of them was crawling and the other one was just learning to walk. I want to keep them out too. You see, what a father comparing them to hens and cats? No. But I want to tell you, they didn't know any more about a carrot than a hen or a cat. That's why we kept them out. But George, who was here today, we had a gate on for him. You could win a weed. He knew what a cucumber plant was. I think he did. And a bean? Sure he did. He wasn't like the man up in northern Saskatchewan. He took me out to show me his wife's garden. I hope you're not here today because of some of these parts. If you're here, brother, forgive me. But he thought his wife had a lovely garden, and so she did. And so he went up and down, and by and by she came out to hear what I had to say about the garden. And I see her yet as she raised her hands, and she said, "What did you do with my tomato plants?" "You pulled them all up. Threw them against the fence." He thought there were weeds. Now, that may make you smile, but he didn't know. And brethren, that's why there's a back seat. Until Christians learn what the assembly is all about. Because coming into an assembly, it's a two-way street. You receive them, and they receive the assembly. Are you prepared to receive what the assembly stands for? Well then, there's a gate to come in. Is your life in keeping what the assembly stands for? You want fellowship? We want to have you, but that's the terms. And so, the protection of the people. Brethren, I hope you keep the fence up. Not only to keep out the wolves, but be careful of men rising up among you that will lead away disciples after themselves. That's what Paul said he had to be. A product of the field. Oh, you say to see people saved. Not a bit of it. Oh, gee, isn't that what an assembly is for? No. Oh, thank God. We should see a soul saved. And if we're in right condition, we will. What is the fruit from God's field? What is the produce that God is looking for? Well, friend, we have it right in the scripture. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And I'll tell you, if there's any place on earth that's hard to produce it, it's in God's still field. There's a lot of weeds, envy, strife, and hypocrisy. And these are the weeds that spring up to kill out the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, it's lovely to think that God's assembly, it is His still field, and He's looking for the fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering, brother with a chip on your shoulder there? How do you get along? Sister with an unforgiving spirit? Long-suffering? Gentleness? You lose your temper? Gentleness? Love, joy, peace? Long-suffering, gentleness? Meekness? What's the next one? Love, joy, peace? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith? Meekness and temperance. And brethren, if we have that kind of fruit in the assembly, we'll have a healthy assembly. And when a series of meetings comes along, and God bless you if you have them. God bless you if you have them. You know, the olden times, they had their regular series of meetings in Vancouver. And they used to do the same in Toronto. Keep that the old-fashioned way. Keep at the old series of meetings. Keep at the Sunday night gospel meeting. Don't substitute it for something else. And keep right with God. The fruit that God is looking for in His still field is the fruit of the Spirit. And when that is found, you'll find blessings.